Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center, right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low-T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is a hump day edition of the show, episode 104, as you see on the show cover there. Double win, double take. So they ended about the same time last night. We did a post game, too, because I was on my couch here in the studio, and I was like, we got to talk about this right now, immediately, if not sooner. And so Logan Webb leads the Giants. Steph Curry is awesome again. Came and come up with words, and there's the pimp right there, Kyle Shanahan, and we'll review what he had to say yesterday. Good morning, as we are on a Wednesday, and we got to do a tight hour today. I apologize, but I got to get out of here quickly today because I'm heading up to Sacramento, as I told you. I talk about the stadium, and I'm kind of disgusted by a minor league stadium, and so I'm going to go up there and see it. I've never been to Sutter Health Park or any rendition of what they've called it, Raleigh Field. And so I'm going to go on the field, watch a little BP, hang out, shake some hands, kiss some babies, and say hello to some old friends. So if you're in Sacramento and you're possibly going to the Cubs, the A's game, and the Cubs have won the first two of that series, I just want to get a look at the field. I know we're not going to probably do a ton of A's. And after the newness wears off of what they're doing up there, I don't know if they stay in contention, maybe. We talk a ton of Giants and we talk a ton of Niners, obviously. And all the things that are relevant, and we go outside of Bay Area sports, and we just talk about everything. Val Kilmer passed away at 65, which is a bummer. So we'll talk about anything on this show, anything that is compelling, anything that I think is worthy of people's time. But I just figured, you know what, go up there, check it out, do it early in the season so that you can have an actual educated opinion about the whole thing. So take me a couple hours or hour and a half or so from where I am, but I want to be there before the game and be able to kind of take a good walk around the whole place and hang out and talk to some people, and I'll shoot some video up there and all that kind of stuff. So if you're in the area, please let me know. Hit me up. There's all sorts of ways to do it. John@johnlundunleashed.com. You can do it through social media channels, any way that you want to do that. X, so forth, right here on YouTube. You can do that. And by the way, we're on YouTube. Please join the community. That would be amazing. John Lund Unleashed. If you keep those alerts on, you join, you keep those alerts on, you give us the thumbs up, which helps the algorithm. You would have known, by the way, if you had your alerts on last night, that we did a really fun hour last night. Chugged a couple of beers, celebrated both victories, 3-1 Giants over the Astros, off to a great start, and a massive game, I think, for the win over Memphis, which flips them to the other side of the bracket, which we'll get to in a second. And as you look at the chalkboard there, episode 104, Giants over the Astros, 3-1, Logan Webb, 7 innings pitched through 100 pitches. Ramos, who you'll hear from, no errors in 2025. That is massive. Sack today, that's Sacramento. Golden State, 134, Memphis, 125. Curry, ridiculous. Green, triple-double. Jimmy Butler adds this element, and it was never more evident than it was last night. Jokic, we have to acknowledge. I guess that people are just going to get bored that he's the MVP every year and give it to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. What Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is doing is phenomenal, and he's a great player, but players do that every year. Players don't do what Jokic is doing every year. He's going to be top three in scoring, assists, and rebounds. He's the MVP. I don't really care who the MVP is, to be honest. Everyone loves these debates at the end of the year because it provides content. I don't care who Rookie of the Year is, Coach of the Year, MVP, don't care. Those guys may have incentives in their deals, and so that's big for them, but I don't get any of that money. So who cares who the MVP is, to be honest with you? People freak out, and it's just content. It's shallow content is what it is, and they sit there and debate it and scream and yell and back and forth. But the best, to me, the MVP, and it's open to interpretation for everybody in every sport, it's the best player in the game. And Jokic is the best player in the game, and he showed it again last night. They lost to Minnesota, which is a bummer for the Warriors. Plus, I was just looking at the schedules for the teams down the stretch. The Warriors better keep it up because the Timberwolves are just one back in the loss column after that double OT win over Denver last night. This is the final six for Minnesota, at Brooklyn, at Philly, at Milwaukee, at Memphis, Brooklyn, Utah. They could maybe lose two. Memphis and Milwaukee are not easy games, but still. Brooklyn twice, Utah, Philly's packed it in. They've got an easy schedule, so the Warriors better keep pedal to the metal. Val Kilmer passes away. Random stuff happens throughout the entire show. I forgot to show you the video from Richard Sherman's house. Have a caboose that we missed yesterday that I've got to play for you as well. Want to play a couple more Kyle cuts. Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Elliot Ramos, all lined up and ready to go as far as the video is concerned. So we have a ton of things to get after. And again, before we go out to roll call, Logan Webb, seven innings pitched, one earned run, 100 pitches. That's just what he does. Steph Curry goes 52 points, 10 boards, 8 assists, had 11 threes at the end of the third quarter. I thought he was going to get the record of 14, and you'll hear from him. He wanted it, but then he had to snap himself back to reality, like, I guess we got to win this game. And then Kyle's looking good, man. I got to be honest, he is aged like the president, but he had a good look going on yesterday. But we got to talk about a couple of more things he said, regardless of whether he looked good, bad, or indifferent yesterday. So that's what we got going today. And again, we'll do a quick hour today. And then I'm going to run up to, like I said, we're going to run up to Sacramento and talk to some people up there and get a feel of that field so that I have a expert opinion and not just sit there and go blah, 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 blah. So anyway, that's what's going on. Yeah, I'm going to go up. Vernon, good to see you. Hurley Bird, all that. I want to do it early in the season. I want to knock it out so that I have an opinion. Maybe later in the season, I'll go back up. Weather comes around. I want to see what it's like. It's going to be, I guess, like low 60s today. It's going to be warm, but I just want to get a sense of it. Like I said, I've never been up at that field at all. So just want to get a quick feel of it, talk to some people. I know a lot of people within the organization that I haven't talked to for a long time, so I'm kind of looking forward to that as well. I'm good friends with Chris Townsend, and I haven't hooked up with Chris in a long time. And he's doing the Ace Cast stuff. He's been doing it as a stream for a long time, but he's doing it on TV. So anyway, I want to get into that whole thing and just say hello to him. Ernesto Ron, it is tremendous to see you. Skills, what's happening, Skills? Nice to see you, man. Tacky, John Holmes is here. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I always like when John Holmes starts with savages because I like that word. Great win for the Warriors. Big red back. RIP to the Iceman. Yeah, Val Kilmer, what a crazy life he had. I can't wait to talk about Val Kilmer a little bit today to finish up the show. Unleashed Heads, I like that. Good to see Dom in the house. Good to see Dom. Absolutely positive. I got to see you down at a Giants game too, because I'll be we'll be at the Giants game on Friday. So it's I'm going to be busy too. In the next 3 days, I'll be visiting Major League Baseball parks, which is really nice. Good to see Vrock 408. You were here last night, man, and it was a really good time. Senorita beers, as he said, we chugged a couple last night in celebration of the victory. We did one, and then my lovely wife was watching the broadcast last night when we did the quick impromptu post-game show. And you people have a lot more power than I do, because last night I was sitting there going, well, I'm not going to leave the show again to go get a beer, because I left out to the garage fridge and grabbed one. And then she was watching and she's like, oh, here you go. And then here's what's funny. I forgot to tell you this. I get off the show and I think she was a little bit behind or something like that. And she comes out and I just literally gotten off the air today. Hey, good night, everybody. See you in the morning. And she brings another one. And I'm like, what are you trying to do? Like, get me hammered? What's going on? She's like, well, I thought figured they'd probably want you to do another one. And I'm like, oh my God. So anyway, yeah, she was all over it last night, bringing in beers. And if not for you people, there's no way she brings beers to me. Like, hey honey, bring me a beer. She'd be like, how about I crack one over your head? One of these glass bottles over your head and bring you a beer. Who do you think I am? My God, man. Colin, good morning to see you. Hey, Rockin' New Era is here. Mike, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, folks. And Tacky is here. Our good friend Tacky is here. So anyway, good morning to everybody. Feel free to throw your opinion out on anything we talk about. If you're new around here, please just say hello. You don't have to even get into the conversation. If you're new into the YouTube channel, just say hello to everybody. Everybody wants to acknowledge you. It's a friendly place. You do not have to agree with one thing that I say. You can say, absolutely, you're on crack. It's totally cool. You can do that here. You can do that after the show. You can put it in the comment section. I try to get back to everybody. So anyway, having a great morning this morning. Thank you for watching on X at John Lund Radio, on Twitch as well. Please not only subscribe here on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed, and give us that thumbs up, please, because it helps the algorithm, which means that people are going to get more of our content, which grows the channel. But also on Bay Area Sports Collective, that's where I am. That's where Tom Tolbert's show is. That's where Polly Mack and Creative Tony are. So what you do is you join that. You get the alerts on all the shows, you know, when we're all going on. And we do stuff all throughout the day, not just my show, but other shows as well. And have those alerts on all of them because they're shows. And then, like I said, I did an impromptu post-game show last night. We put out shorts during the day, five-minute short videos on the big stories. In fact, I'm dotting I's, crossing T's on what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday. I'm sorry that I didn't get to it. I should have already posted that, but started watching Giants last night, and then Warriors, and I'm flipping back and forth. And I was even watching A's and Cubs, and then, you know, flipped it over actually and was watching Ducks and Sharks. I mean, by the way, sports wise, we're so lucky. I mean, it was just so cool to be able to just flip around to everything. And then I was watching on the NBA channel, you know, you got because of the Timberwolves being close to the Warriors, I was watching Timberwolves Nuggets, and Jokic was so good. I was like, it's a double overtime game. And like I said, Jokic ended with 61, 11, and 10. And I'm just like, you got to watch this. And so it's just, what a night. It was incredible. And then at the end of it all, I was just like, I'm just sitting here. I got to talk to people. And then we ended up doing an impromptu post game. So make sure that you have your alerts on and you will catch all of those things. All right. I know that I put the Giants first here, but let me start with the Warriors just because that was such a big win last night. And again, love your opinion. Please jump in here, say hello, and let me know your opinion on all this kind of stuff. By the way, Mark is here. Good morning to Mark. Chris, good to see you, my friend. I think we've seen you here before, but it is great to see you. Thank you for joining the show on YouTube, one of the best regular season sports nights I watched in recent memory. It was so much fun. Hi, J49. It was so much fun last night, man. Like I said, that's why I jumped on to do a post game show, because I was sitting here and I was thinking to myself, okay, I haven't seen my wife all day and that would be nice. But, and then we ended up hanging out anyway and watching a little bit of Tulsa King. We're catching up on Tulsa King, but I'm watching all these shows, and I'm like, I got to have somebody to talk to. We got to talk about this because that's just a massive win. So 134, 125 last night, a couple of different things we can get into, and I'd love your opinion on this. But let me just jump to the box score really quickly as far as the Warriors and just go over this just a little bit. Not that the box score tells you everything, but it tells you something here, which is, first of all, just Steph Curry is ridiculous. We're going to play some Steve Kerr and Steph Curry in just a second. But Curry, 16 to 31, 12 of 20. He was 11 of 15 through three quarters. And I thought to myself, well, he's getting the record. He's going to beat Clay tonight. And he was on. They needed it. You thought it was going to happen. But for Steph Curry, we just keep forgetting this maybe. At the age of 37, and in the age of Tom Brady's doing it and LeBron James is doing it, and there's a number of different guys who are doing it. Steph Curry is not, and I give Tom Brady a ton of credit in this too. LeBron James was gifted an amazing body by God. I mean, it's just like, and he's worked it. Don't get me wrong. It's like, you know, he could sit on the couch and eat bonbons. He doesn't do that, but Steph Curry, it's just pure work, this guy. And it's just amazing what he did last night. So he gets the 52, incredible, almost gets a triple double on it on a game that he knew was absolutely massive. And we'll tell you how big in just a second. Draymond Green comes up with a triple double. And we do in the Bay Area, and he's not always my favorite guy, but in terms of the way that he's played and does play, people look at, say, 4 of 12 and 1 of 7 from the field, and they're so short-sighted in what he brings to the table, and he was great last night. But I want to focus on Jimmy Butler for just a second, because I doubt this is a game they win earlier in the season, because at points during the game, and Butler, nice line, 7 of 11, 1 of 2, 12 of 12 in line, 27 points. But what he does is, at times during the game when there is a little bit of a frenzy going on and you're on the road like they were last night in Memphis and they make a run at you and some shots aren't going down, Jimmy Butler understands that. The ball goes down to him, or he goes out and gets the ball. He knows who's on him and he knows how to draw a foul. It's kind of James Harden-ish, where you used to get frustrated watching Harden and there was nothing you could do about it. It's just he knows how to do that. And Jimmy Butler knows how to do that. So he goes 12 of 12 from the line. Steph goes 8 of 8. Draymond goes 4 of 4. So when you're looking at 28 of 28 from the line, and keep in mind that Memphis shoots the most free throws of any team in the NBA, and you outshot them 28-22, but what's more important is you made every free throw, so you were plus 9 at the free throw line. What was the final score of the game? Oh, it was 134-125. Let me do some quick math, which we don't like to do on this show. I'm fully aware of that. That's a 9-point victory. Now, that's oversimplification. I completely understand that, but it's a 9-point game, and you won on the free throw line by 9. And other guys went to the line, I understand that, but Jimmy went 12 times and hit them all. And it was not only that he hit that amount, it's just when. Okay, we're struggling a little bit. We're an outside shooting team. Not all shots are going to go down, even if it's Steph Curry, who had a tremendous night. I need to settle things down. We're on the road. Need to quiet the crowd. Need to stop the momentum. Jimmy gets to the line. He did that a couple of times, 2-3 times in the fourth quarter. And it's like, that's just what he brings to the table. He's not going to shoot a bunch of threes. There's, you know, certain things, but the intricacies of his game and drawing fouls is a big part of it. It was just massive last night. So yeah, Curry deserves his flowers. He was, I don't even know what to say about him anymore. And Draymond was Draymond. But come playoff time, and you don't get as many foul calls in the playoffs, but Jimmy still knows how to do it. That's a nice win last night. And Memphis knew what it meant. And the Warriors knew what it meant. So both teams are playing. That was a playoff game last night. It was playoff intensity last night. So just a massive win for the Warriors. Their three big guys step up. They got some key contributions from other guys. And it was just it was just a huge win. Now, they're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but let me just throw up the screen one more time and show you, yes, that's right, the bracket. And we can see where things go here. Let me see. We're under the team standings. There we are. Let's go to the bracket here, and it just flips them to the other side. Now, does it mean that they're going to stay there? No, but I sure as hell love seeing them not facing the Nuggets in the first round, and the Grizzlies having to face them at this particular point. So, as you look at the Western Conference, Mavs and Kings in the 9-10, T-Wolves and Clippers, which I'll get to in a second. Just one game back, though. I mean, it's a nice win, and everybody's feeling great. They're one game ahead in the loss column of the Timberwolves and the Clippers. And I gave you the Timberwolves schedule, which is ridiculously easy the rest of the way. It doesn't mean they're going to win all those games, but that was a huge win for them in double overtime against the Nuggets last night, even though Jokic had 61, 11, and 10. So the bottom line to this whole thing is I don't think they would get out of the first round if they have to take on the Nuggets, which is still possible. But now you're on the other side of the bracket. Don't love playing the Thunder in the next round, but there would be a next round possibly. Whereas against the Nuggets, I don't think there is. Now, having said that, the Lakers have swept the season series to this point 3-0. So the Warriors have a lot of work to do, and I don't know that they can get to 4 because right now, even if you beat the Lakers on the road tomorrow night, you're 45-31. They're 46-30, and you got to be clear of them because they have the season series. So you got to be clear of them. You can't be tied. So right now, even though they're 2 in the loss column back with 7 games to play, they're 3 back because they don't have the season series. So can they get the 4 versus the 5? I mean, the Lakers would have to go into the tank. Could they? Sure, they could. And then you'd be in the 4-5, and you'd have home court advantage, which would be massive. Could they beat the Lakers? Season series says it's going to be tough. Both those series, they don't match up well against the Nuggets. They don't match up well against the Lakers. I don't love the matchup. There's no question. As weird as this sounds, because I bitched and moaned about this, and I'm like, what is the NBA? What are they doing? They got Luka. Like, he's going to be great for 10 years. I don't know that I would say, even though Luka's a better player, Luka's a foundational piece for the Lakers in the future, makes everybody around him better. The same reason that the Nuggets are such a pain in the ass for the Warriors, which is Jokic, and you have no answer for him, the Warriors had no answer for Anthony Davis. So I don't know that from a matchup standpoint, the Warriors aren't better off. I know this is weird with Luka, who they can throw a number of different players at than they were with Anthony Davis. They had zero answer for Anthony Davis. I'm not saying Davis was better than Luka or is better than Luka. He is not. He's not better short term. He's not better long term. But playoffs are about matchups. And matchup wise, the Warriors might be better off with Luka on the Lakers than they were with Anthony Davis on the Lakers, if you follow my opinion. And look, you can say that I'm crazy and on crack. I'm not on crack this morning. Maybe another day I would be, but not today. So look, all I know is I'd rather just be away from the Nuggets, and I'd rather play the Lakers in the first round than the Nuggets. And there's the potential, if they can win this thing out, which is not going to be easy, because the next 3 games for the Warriors are Lakers tomorrow night on the road. Then they come home for Nuggets and Rockets. And then things get a little bit easier. San Antonio should be a gimme. Portland should be a gimme. And for some weird reason, I think it's going to come down to the Clippers at the end of the season. If you haven't been with the show, the Clippers have a 3-0 series lead over the Warriors too. Not lead, they won the season series, so they could win that game. And so again, you got to be clear of the Clippers. It can't come down to a tie. So as much as you feel well about last night, you're feeling great, and Jimmy was great, and they went to the free throw line, and Steph was doing crazy Steph stuff, and Draymond was getting triple double wise. So as you watch that game, you're thinking to yourself, hey man, these guys are rounding into playoff mode, no doubt. But they got to win that game tomorrow night against the Lakers to have any shot at the 4, which would mean you play the Lakers in the 4-5 matchup, maybe you get home court advantage. Even if not, you just have to win the rest of the games because you just don't want to drop to the 6. You want to make sure that the Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Clippers, those are the teams that are fighting 6, 7, and 8. And then a lot of people have talked about, a lot of people are, well, let's just drop to the 7 and take on the Rockets. Stay on that side of the, you know, just 7-2 against the Rockets. Like I said, I just don't want to mess with it. Because if the Mavericks, for example, were to beat the Kings in a 9-10 and you were to lose in a 7-8 against the Timberwolves or the Clippers, your season's on the line. And guess who's standing there? Anthony Damn Davis. And I just don't want to see that. So I want them to avoid the play-in. I want them to stay on that side of the bracket. I would love it if they could somehow be the 4 versus the 5. That's going to be tough because you got to be clear of the Lakers by 2 games or by a game because they have the season series. So it would help to win tomorrow night. You get within a game of the Lakers. You got to hope for a little bit of help, but that's the way that the Western Conference looks right now. So it's what's crazy about it is there's 7 games left in the season. They could be the 4, the 5, the 6, the 7. Yeah, they could be the 8. I mean, they could be 4 through 8 is what they could be. So we're 7 games left in the season. It seems like it's like this year, like this in the Western Conference every single year. But I would say this, in the last few years, I haven't felt confident at all about the Warriors. And this year, I just, if they were to say drop into the play-in game and lose, I'd be like, what? Whereas in past years, I'm like, yeah, they get in the play-in. It's not great. They have lost their last 3 play-in games, but I think Jimmy Butler changes the equation on those kind of things. So give me your thoughts on the Warriors, whether it be where they are, how you're feeling, game last night. I don't know what else to say about Steph Curry. In fact, here is Steve Kerr, and he is even out of superlatives when it comes to Steph Curry. Here's Steve on the podium last night.
7 years old. It's incredible. 52 points with people draped all over him all game long. The conditioning, the skill, the audacity, the belief. It's just incredible to watch Steph at work. I mean, I can't believe he's still doing this at this age, but he's put the work in and he still got it.
And, you know, I think the reason why Steve Kerr says that is that, you know, Steve Kerr played and, you know, things are different. Travel is different. Nutrition is different. The way that, you know, with these devices, whether I complain about them all the time, which I do, just because I think players can play. I think they are that well conditioned. I think these devices that tell you when you're tired and when you're susceptible, more susceptible to injury, there's actually no proof in terms. I'm not saying they don't work. What I am saying is that players aren't less injured than they were. There are as much or more, and I equate that to baseball and basketball and all those kind of things. Football, there's always been injuries. They've just gotten better at fixing the injuries. So what used to be a career ender, like an ACL back in the day, like a guy like Gale Sayers, oh, ACL, you're done. You know, they fix those routinely all the time. The Achilles, which used to be a career ender, still is probably the most difficult injury to come back from in all of sports, but guys still do it. So, you know, there is advancements in that way, but in terms of, you know, let's hold the guy out. The Warriors are trying to extend his career. I completely understand it. But at this point of the season, they're going to extend the minutes for all these guys if they can win these games. So that's what happened last night. Great job by the Warriors. Couple of big runs by Memphis at times. They went into the fourth quarter tied at 103, and they just made the plays. And like I said, everybody's going to look at Steph, and they should. He's absolutely amazing. Draymond was great. But I think they lose this game without Jimmy Butler. There's just no question about it. Earlier in the season, they don't win this game because sometimes the shots just aren't going to fall. I don't care if it's the greatest shooter of all time or not. And Jimmy just stops the game. And it does so many different things. Older team, catch your breath. The road crowd calms down a little bit, takes momentum, takes a little air out of the balloon. Jimmy slows it down, hits a couple of free throws. Now you get set on defense. I mean, there's just so many good things that happen when you get to the free throw line like Jimmy Butler does. And it was just a massive, even though it's going to be kind of under the radar a little bit, 28 for 28 from the free throw line last night, but he was 12 for 12, and it was a sight. Here is Steph Curry. This is him on the court last night on NBC Sports Bay Area. Asked if the three-point record was on his mind at any point, because remember, he was 11 of 15 through three quarters, and I don't know about you, but I'm sitting on my couch watching this thing going, 14's the record? He's going to catch Clay. I thought he was going to get 15 or 16 last night. But he only ended up hitting one in the fourth quarter. Here's Steph talking about it.
Threes in the fourth quarter. I definitely was thinking about Clay in Chicago. This is as close as I've been with the amount of time left. But then after that, reality check. We got to win the game, so you don't want to sabotage anything.
That's just Steph. That's Steph being Steph, which is, you know, he's understanding that whole thing. But he'll get it at some point, I think. I mean, it's just too obvious, right? You're the greatest shooter of all time. And I was thinking about a cover for the show because I thought for sure he's getting it. I'm like, you know, another record, or how am I going to put this on the cover of the show? You know, all this kind of stuff. And then he didn't end up getting it. I kept watching. I'm like, did I miss? Because I was flipping to the Giants for a minute. And, you know, they go to commercial breaks. And I'm like, did I miss a three? I'm sure, you know, because he was just, he had it. He was rolling so early. I was like, he's getting it tonight. He's just getting it. And it was going to be a big win. And, you know, I thought, yeah, definitely. He's definitely going to get it. But anyway, awesome game by him. Let me hit some other things as far as the Warriors go, because I'm going to move on. We're 25 minutes into the show. And like I said, I got to zip up to Sacramento today and get on the field and talk to some people. So I'm going to cut it a little short today. So I want to get to everything, but that's just a huge win. But as we talk about all the time, and I'll pop the schedule up here really quickly. Well, I don't even need to do that. You know what it is. I just said what it was. So obviously they get the win in Memphis tomorrow night. Lakers, massive. And then it comes down to this: Denver, Houston. I'm not big. I've told you this before. I'm not big into message sending, but just in case they have to play Denver. I'm not calling that a must win because it's not, but it's, you know, kind of a got to have it, because you don't, if you lose that game, you probably drop back into their side of the bracket, which sucks. And you haven't beaten them for a long time. And I don't care how much confidence you have. And believe me, between Steph Curry and Draymond Green, just the fact that they've won so many championships and dug themselves out of so many holes and everything, they have massive confidence in what they can do. But if you haven't beaten a team in a long time, there's a massive mental side to this whole thing, and they got to do it. Houston is a team you haven't seen in a while, and they've been red hot, so that's a big game. Phoenix probably will not have Kevin Durant, so Phoenix, San Antonio, Portland should be a nice stretch, although that's a road game. Two of those three are road games, but still, San Antonio, we just saw, has packed it in. Pack it up, pack it in. Portland has two, and then like I keep saying, I think it's just maybe comes down to that last LA game, just because it just seems like the schedule gods put that there for a reason. So that's what they've got remaining on the schedule. Jokic, I just told you, but I'm going to show you anyway. I mean, it's third player in NBA history to record a 60-point triple-double. It's just ridiculous the way that he's playing. I would make him MVP, and it wouldn't be close. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is having a tremendous season. What happens with media guys, because I've been one for so many years and I actually vote on these awards 20 plus years ago. Teams just, voters just get bored. Like, we can't give it, like I said, I've said this story before, you know, Jordan, and they gave it to Karl Malone and they played in the finals. And all Michael Jordan said at all the press conferences were, but Malone's the MVP. Like, they just use it as fodder against them, and you have a target on your back. And it might be a good thing if the Warriors will play Oklahoma City in the playoffs to just say, well, he's the MVP. I mean, it's just, it's one of those psychological things that you do. It puts more of a target on your back. And when you're a young player, I think it was a burden, like I said, for Malone, because Jordan kept bringing it up and kicking their ass. It was actually got to the point where it was comedic. So anyway, that's what's going on as far as the NBA is concerned. Again, 134-125. Curry was awesome. Green triple-double. Butler was incredible. 28-for-28 from the free throw line from a team that doesn't shoot free throws, or didn't, before Jimmy Butler arrived. So just an amazing performance by the Warriors, but there's no breathing. It's no like, oh, okay, we're cool. You got the Lakers tomorrow night. You want to catch them for four so you can play them in a 4-5 matchup and have the home court advantage in that. And then I think you do, as weird as this sounds, and maybe it's dumb, and I'm certainly contradicting myself. I think you got to win the Denver game just in case. Houston is a young team, and I think the same thing there is like, okay, if they come in and they kick your ass and you have to play them in the playoffs, maybe they have some confidence, but it rarely comes down to that. I mean, every game is different. So that's what we got going up as far as the Warriors. But a big game last night. And we can celebrate that for a second before we have to worry about the other things, because they don't play till tomorrow night. It's just a big game. And it's a big-time game to show that once the playoffs hit, Curry's got another level. We know that, another gear. Draymond does. Jimmy does. So if you're a young team and they're walking into your building, Houston, Oklahoma City, you're not loving that. But first round is going to be tough. Whether you play Denver, whether you play the Lakers beat you 3-0 in the season series. Denver, you never beat Denver, ever, ever, ever. So those are both going to be challenging series. I would just rather play the Lakers than Denver. Thank you very much. So that's what I got. Let me see here. What else do we got? What's up, Jazz fan? Talking about Rudy Gobert. Yeah, that was a little rough last night. I don't know how you cover Jokic. I just don't, man. I have no idea. That's a good idea. Yeah, one of those things where you stick the thing in your mouth. I'd rather just chug the beers, to be honest with you. My wife said, that we were talking last night, because like I said, I went out, I was off the air for the post game show, and she was a little late on everything watching it, and she brought in another beer, and I go, "Why you just chug that?" She goes, "Oh, they give me a bunch of supers, I'll chug a beer." And I'm like, I've never seen my wife chug a beer. I've known her for almost 10 years. I've never seen her chug a beer ever, ever, ever. In fact, she never drinks beer. She's not a beer drinker. So anyway, yeah, she does not chug beers. Let's see, Chris, what do you got? Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy all play the remaining games. I think at least one of the two sit out. It just depends, Chris. If you know, normally in a season, in a normal season, they're going to do that. You know, that monitor's going to go boop, boop, beep, boop, cannot play, which I think is ridiculous. But I do know this, that if you're the Warriors and you need to get as high of a seed as you possibly can. So if this is what I think it comes down to, is they're not stupid. They're not going to say they're going to try to avoid a team. They're going to try to avoid Denver. And if there's still a even a remote chance that they can jump the Lakers and get home court advantage, that's huge. And here's the other thing, too. You could rest Steph Curry in a really nice way if you didn't have to play in the play-in game. So as much as it's kind of a confusing to your mind, and I'm talking about my mind, where I sit here and I go, God, they look really good against Memphis. They drop Memphis down. Everything's looking great. Oh, my God. Minnesota and the Clippers are one game back in the loss. So I think they have to suck it up, Buttercup. I think that the rest of the way, everybody has to play. And maybe you limit their minutes a little bit more. But I don't think you can have these guys sit a game the rest of the way. Now, if they're getting blown out in a game, Denver, Houston, you know, one of these games, Phoenix on the road, I don't think that's going to happen. But still, if that were to happen, or they were blowing somebody out, then I think, yeah, they're going to pull them. They're going to try to limit their minutes. But I don't think they can have them sit a game, because then you're going to have to play in the playing game anyway, and that defeats the whole purpose of it. Because as much as you feel excited about them and think to yourself, hey, they're the five, they could even get to the four potentially if everything shakes right and they beat the Lakers tomorrow night. Now, Lakers have the season series, like I said, but it could happen, and they could get as high as four. You know, you're getting pretty excited about that. But like I said, they're one game in the loss from the eight. So they don't really have any kind of, they've used their mulligans up. You know, they don't really have anything left in terms of that. So let me move over to a little bit of Giants last night. And I do have a little bit of Niners before we get out of here at the top of the hour. Plus, we have to acknowledge Val Kilmer. And I do, for 2 days, I've been sitting on this caboose pistol that I got to do that. So anyway, I'll be very nice. Very nice. By the way, I was going to think of it. There's a great, I don't know why this just popped into my mind. There's a great Huckleberry vodka that you make a white Russian with that is outstanding. That you, so you just do it normal, but you just put in the Huckleberry vodka. Really, really good. Really, really good. Can you get a P.O. box so we can send you fan mail? I'll first class to you a couple of beer bongs. I do need, have beer bongs advanced? Couldn't I just go to like a Home Depot and make one quite easily with a cone, and you know, you take that little piece of metal and then you just put it on the tube? I mean, I could do that. I'm not saying I'm the handiest guy around. You know, I can change light bulbs. I can mow lawns. I can do a few things around the house. My wife can back me up on that. I'm not completely inept. I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm tremendous. I wouldn't say I'm on the positive side. If we were saying, you know, here's the Mendoza line of people who can fix things around the house, I wouldn't say I'm much above it, but I'm not below it. I would say that. So I can make one, unless there's been advancements that I'm unaware of and that they're professional type of beer bongs. Cause like I said, I like beer bongs. And I think I said last night, if you were in the post game show, I went to Arizona. My son's, said this a million times, my son's at Arizona State, and we went there for a family weekend and saw a bunch of other parents there. It was parents weekend. And a bunch of other parents are there, and we're talking, and they've got this, you know, this big house and backyard. And it's unbelievable how much college has changed. They got like a pool in the backyard, this big whole thing, this house that he's living at. It's ridiculous. And so they have this plastic little, you know, pool, like a kid pool or whatever. And it's full of ice, and I'm looking for a beer. And I'm like, do you guys not have any beers? Ask my son, I'm like, don't you guys have any beers? And because a bunch of old people like me around and everything, and a bunch of kids, and it's a bunch of twisted teas and seltzers and all this kind of stuff. And they're beer bonging twisted teas. And so these kids thought it was really funny and fascinating that are the old people would beer bong. And I'm like, yeah, I'll beer bong, but I'm not beer bonging a twisted tea. Get some beer. Like, it's beer. And so of course, you know, I had to DoorDash all this stuff because, you know, these kids, you know, everyone's drinking and stuff. So I DoorDash, you know, a few cases of beer because I'm like, look, us old people, we're not drinking Twisted Teas and seltzers and stuff like that. And if you like seltzers, that's totally cool, man. They're 100 calories. You're not going to add weight with that kind of stuff. Totally fine. You do you. But and then we started beer bonging some beers, and that's the whole thing. And they were old school beer bongs, and nothing had changed. Technology had not taken over the beer bong. So I didn't know if there was something that I was missing as far as beer bongs were concerned. So just a thought. To your original thought of a P.O. box, could you even send a – I guess you could. I guess you just have to go up to the front and get them. Yeah, here's this. So anyway, there you go. All right, let me get to this before guava beer. Man, I'm telling you, last night I hadn't had one in a few days, and I chugged. Like I said, I chugged a couple of those. Pretty good. Can't say that they were bad. Can't say that they were bad. That's kind of a Ricky Pearsall thing. Go Devils, go Gators. But anyway, why are we going after? Are we going after Rudy Gobert today? Is that what's going on? All right, let me get to a little bit of Giants last night. As you see at the top, so I reverse things a little bit here. But as you see at the top there, Logan Webb doing Logan Webb things. 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run. They let him go 100 pitches, had 9 ground ball outs, 3 double plays. That's just him. And as Landon Roop goes today at 12:35 Pacific time, and I'll come home and watch that after I get back from Sacramento and Cubs and A's. Not going to say this is a huge start. It's very early in the season. It's not like the Warriors situation or anything like that. But if this team is going to win at any level and they're all of a sudden they're off to a 4-1 start and we can only judge them, everybody wants to say, I'm not a real big fan of this term where they say it's a small sample size. Well, I have a show every single day, well, 6 days a week, and I've got to have an opinion on these kind of things. And from what I know right now, the Giants are playing good baseball. Yeah, there's 157 games to go, but it's almost like a movie to me. Like, okay, it's in a segment. I just watched a 2-hour movie. Was it entertaining or not? It was pretty entertaining. So they've been good so far. That's all I need to know. I'm not saying they're going to the World Series. I'm not saying they're going to top the Dodgers in the division. We're not there yet. But I know this, that the way that they win, the way that the Giants have always won since they moved to this ballpark, even though they haven't had a home game yet, is they've got to pitch and they've got to play defense. And they've got to have timely hitting. So last night, Logan Webb goes 7 innings, throws 100 pitches, gives up 1 earned run. Got it. The bullpen so far, and you had Ryan Walker come in last night and get a save. He was great. Ding, check mark. You had Rodgers come in, Tyler Rodgers. And as much as we forget about it and everyone looks at it and goes, God, what a funky guy. And he throws 71. He's, as we talk about all the time, he's in the bank for me as far as the Giants. I know what he's going to give me every single night. He's not a what if, he's a bank. So I put him in the bank. And so Rodgers does what he does. Logan Webb does what he does. Ryan Walker does what he does. And if the Giants are going to win with any regularity, it's going to be through pitching. And it's going to be through defense. And as you see on the chalkboard there, zero errors on the season. Is that going to continue? I don't know. But Matt Chapman is slick at third base, as we know. Adames has been solid. Jung-Hoo Lee is, you know, makes every play in center field. Ramos isn't bad when he's in a corner outfield spot. Mike Yastrzemski made a nice catch last night that nobody will talk about, but it was a solid above average catch in right field at a critical time in the game. Patrick Bailey's a really good defensive catcher. So I don't know what Fitzgerald's going to be, but he's a hell of an athlete. So but just on paper, he looks like he could be a really good second baseman. So they got a pitch. So far, Logan Webb does what Logan does. The bullpen's doing what they're doing. They pitched well in Cincinnati. Ryan Walker gave up a run there, but didn't hurt him. So the bullpen's been pretty much nailed so far. They play defense, and the starting pitching has been solid. We'll see what Verlander does. Robbie Ray knocked out the first 15 hitters in his start, and then I don't know what the hell happened. Everything just went haywire, but I still have confidence in him. Logan Webb, they brought back because they wanted to do it on regular rest because they had that off day after the opener just in case weather was going to give him an issue. That happens every single year. And now we're going to find out what Logan Roop is all about, or Landon Roop is all about. So can Landon Roop do what he did in the spring? And he's always had a hammer curveball and all that kind of stuff, and everyone was on him last year, and maybe that was just a year too early. But if Roop is something today, then all of a sudden you go, whoa, because I have a ton of confidence in Hayden Birdsong. I think that kid's legit. So you've got some depth there. Some guys at AAA are off to a pretty decent start. Harrison's down there. There's 17 Carsons on the minor league team. So, you know, some of those guys could come through. But to me, Landon Roop is huge. Now, he doesn't have to go 100 pitches and seven innings like Logan Webb, but if they can give him, because the bullpen's fairly well rested after a Logan Webb start, because that's what Logan Webb does. You used Rogers for an inning. You used Walker for an inning. I think Walker would still be available today, but you didn't use Duvall and a couple other guys out of the pen, so your pen's pretty well rested. So if Roop could give you five today, five really good innings, maybe one earned run over five, which, I don't know, maybe that's too much to ask. Then all of a sudden you've got a rested bullpen and now you're kind of cooking with some gas. It's really early in the year, but you look at this and you say that because if they were winning the games weird, like, of course, would they get six runs in the first game or something like that? They're not going to score six runs, but I always say this. I've said this so far about the Giants. They were seventh in home runs last year on the road. So, you know, they can hit and they've got, you know, their offense isn't horrid. It's just, it's a tough place to hit when they're at home. So they're winning the game. Last night was the type of win that the Giants would be or would get normally. They're going to win or play in a lot of 1-0, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 type games. So you win a game 3-1 over the Astros, which is a quality opponent, and the way that they played last night, that's how they win. That's their recipe. The problem with the Giants is, if you comp them to some of the better teams in the league, and I'm sorry that I have to do it with the Dodgers, but the Dodgers can bludgeon you. They can outpitch you. They can, you know, there's a bunch of different ways that they can win. The Giants kind of have one recipe generally. Now on the road, could they hit some more home runs and outscore some teams? I think they could to an extent, but they're going to win 3-1, 3-2, 2-1, 1-0. You know, they're going to win these low-scoring games. So that means your pen's got to be great. You can't give extra outs defensively, and your starters have obviously got to be hammered, and that's what we saw and have seen so far. You know, Hicks was great. Hicks was great the other night. Then Logan Webb is great, and hopefully Landon Roop can give you a similar start. And I think that Ray and Verlander will be fine, but they're not going to be able to have, you know, those guys aren't going 30 starts. At least Verlander's not. I mean, if Verlander could give you, I don't know, 24 starts, 25 starts, I think that would be a major win at the age of 42. But it seems like you have some depth on this pitching staff. So if I sound optimistic about the Giants, it's because they're 4-1. They're playing some good baseball. Houston's good. Even if they lose today, they will have won the first two series on the road, and it's just about winning series. You know, two out of three, two out of three, two out of three, two out of three. And then you come home and you play really good baseball at home. You should tailor your baseball team to your park, which they kind of have. And I blame that more on Farhan. He always said, we're going to get more athletic. We're going to get more athletic. Okay. I mean, Adames is an athlete. Tyler Fitzgerald is an athlete. Chapman is a very underrated athlete. So, you know, they're getting there. I still, you know, Jung-Hoo Lee is smooth in center field. He's not a big base stealer, but, you know, obviously for his size, especially Ramos, big guy, not tall, but, you know, meaty. I'd call him meaty. He's a good athlete. And by the way, I haven't spoke about Ramos today. I do have a Ramos cut. What a respectful guy he is. You see this in the post game? Here's Elliot Ramos last night.
Here is a privilege to do it with this team, and I feel really good. We feel really good as a team, and honestly, like, it's blessings. Always blessings.
That's a good dude. He extended his streak to start the season of extra base hits to five, ties Willie Mays. If you tie Willie Mays, I think you're probably doing something well. I'm not going to put him in the bank yet because in the preseason, as you know, or exhibition, I was saying, is he in the bank or is he an if? And the only reason I called him an if is because in the first half of the season, he was awesome. He was an all-star. In the second half of the season, he was below average. And so I asked the simple question of, is he the first half guy or the second half guy? So far, and the Crawford boxes aren't far. And when he first hit that pitch, I was thinking, that's not a home run. And it was. But still, I don't care. It is what it is. He hits a home run. He's got five extra base hits in the first five games, which ties Willie Mays for that record, as I said. He looks good. And it's not only beyond the stats, which I'm a big fan of, and you and I say this all the time, just watch the damn game. He just looks good. His at-bats look good. He's not going out of the zone for stupid pitches. They are trying to get him because in the second half of last year, he was chasing pitches he shouldn't have chased. And so why am I going to throw you a strike? I'm going to throw a strike up and in the zone. I'm going to throw you sliders away. You're chasing these things. So that's really what was his downfall. And if you have to come in with a strike, this is basically major leaguers, but if you have to come into a strike with a strike to Ramos, he's going to do some damage. He got himself out a lot of times in the second half of the season. And if he can have better strike zone discipline, then he's going to be a real tough player. And he's underrated as an athlete. So you know, I like him. I like him a lot. So he's off to a really good start, an encouraging start, even though it's just five games. But That's the way the Giants have to win games. So, and I didn't mention Willie Adames. He had the two-run double down the left field line. That's what I'm talking about, is you look at his stats right now and you're like, eh, Adames hasn't been great. Well, he had a two-run double last night, and that's how the Giants win games. Key hits at key times. So they're not going to be the Dodgers offense. They're not going to be the Phillies offense. They're not going to be some of these offenses that we see, but to have them do what they're doing and get a key hit. So he gets a key hit last night. Ramos gets the home run. That's where the three runs came from. And Logan Webb makes it hold up, and the bullpen's the bullpen, and they haven't committed an error in 2025, which is going to be like, watch, they'll have like 20 errors now that I mentioned that. But that's how they got to win games. So it's an encouraging start, I'd put it that way. So give me your thoughts on the Giants. Today, here's what I'll do. Like I said, I'm zipping up to Sacramento here shortly, and I'm going to go A's, Cubs. I'm going to look at the park and see what everything looks like up there. And like I said, shake hands, kiss babies. I'll come home, watch the Giants game. I'm also going to post later on my thoughts on Kyle Shanahan and what he said yesterday. I didn't post it yesterday. I apologize, but I'm going to do that as well. Plus, I just like to post the Kyle Shanahan stuff just because I like to talk about the way he looks.
And I believe we're in the top. I believe we're in the top five.
He looks like the most interesting man alive. So anyway, I'll post that a little bit later on to check that out. So give me your thoughts on the Giants. It's cool. I mean, like I said, it's off to a really good start. I'm glad that you said this. Where is this? John, you throwing out the first pitch. No, I am not John Holmes, but thank you. I don't think, and you know what? I got to find the video for this. This is years ago, but and this may be what you're referring to, John Holmes. But, so when I was with 95.7 The Game, this is in maybe 2012, 2011, something in that range. Because we carried the games, they had all the personalities throughout the first pitch. And I made a bet with the guy who is doing afternoon drive now, and he's the fan in New York, Brandon Tierney. Hey, it's Brandon Tierney. You know, like New Yorkers really going to fit in the Bay Area, but whatever. So anyway, I made a bet with Brandon Tierney that I would do the first pitch Chad Bradford style, like really low as I possibly could. So I do it. He was going to give me $100 to do it. So I do it, but I hit my knuckles on the ground, and they were playing the Dodgers that day, and it hits and the ball goes flying out of my hand and it scatters the Dodgers dugout. Now the dugout's over here and I'm left-handed. So I'm doing this and it hits and it just right into their dugout. And everyone's looking at me like, what are you doing? So then a year later, I go up there and I have my son with me, who's at the time, George, of course, who's 21 now, so that makes him like 12 or something. And he had that floppy hair, and he comes out with me, and people are going, boo, because they knew from the year before I did this terrible pitch, but it was, you know, like I said, I did it for a reason. And they're giving me grief about it, and I get ready to throw it, and then I hand it to my son, because I'm like, well, they're not going to boo him. And, of course, he does a better pitch than I do, and the great, Dick Callahan at the time is like, that's a better pitch than you could throw, and, you know, it's pretty funny. But anyway, so I have thrown out one pitch and then been to the mound for a second pitch. I doubt that the A's, Sacramento, Oakland, Vegas, Kansas City, whatever version of the A's you're talking about, would ever allow me to throw another opening pitch, ceremonial first pitch ever again. But I could be wrong. Maybe they would. And I will be on the field today, and so who knows? You would not boo a kid. You would not. Nobody booed the kid. When I handed him the ball, they actually cheered. They actually did. They cheered. So, yeah, I think so. Francis says, if they play clean baseball behind the staff, they could have a very good season. Yeah, I mean, look, over the last couple of years, it's just been like, my God, can they defend it all? And even remember, Crawford's last year, he was one of the worst shortstops defensively in the league. So Chapman's going to be Chapman. He's going to make anybody better on the left side. It's not like Willie Adames has great defensive numbers, but if he can be average at short, I think with his athleticism, I think Tyler Fitzgerald has a good chance to be an above average second baseman. Wade's okay at first base, not terrible. He's okay. Patrick Bailey's Patrick Bailey. We know that. Jung-Hoo Lee is going to be really good in center field. I think Ramos has a chance to be a good above average corner outfielder. And Yaz is a really good right fielder. Like I said, he made a catch late in the game yesterday that, you know, it was a nice running catch. And maybe that was a 50-50 ball for some outfielders, but it was a nice running catch. He gets great jumps on the ball. He plays right field at Oracle Park as well as anybody has. He's just very good at it, and it's a hard right field to play. So they should be an above-average defensive team. If you just looked across the board at what I just said, I mean, Yaz is a gold glove type I think Jung-Hoo Lee could be. I think just keep Ramos out of center field. Chapman's, Bailey's, Bailey. I mean, you could be looking at like three Gold Glovers on defense. That's as good as they are. Bailey's every year is a candidate. Chapman is every year a candidate. Yaz every year is a candidate. And Jung-Hoo Lee's above average in center. He could. He makes a lot of nice plays. He doesn't have the greatest arm, but, you know, he gets to every ball until he got hurt last year. So, anyway. Yeah, this is an interesting one. Thank you, Anthony, for bringing this up. I almost think you're wasting Schmidt at first base if you're doing that because he's so good defensively at second, short, third. Now, you're not going to take Chapman out of the lineup at third. I understand that. But one of the reasons why, I think if Schmidt's bat could ever get going, and this is what I wanted for Tyler Fitzgerald, I wanted them to sign Bregman, Alex Bregman, who ended up in Boston, and then you could make Tyler Fitzgerald the Super U. I love the Super U. So the super utility guy. So if Casey Schmidt can even show that he can play first base, then you're talking about first, second, short, occasionally giving Chapman the day off. He's above average. I've never seen him play first base, but at second, short, and third, he's above average defensively. So now you're going to get him at first base. So now maybe that's your super U. You know, maybe he's your super U guy and can play all over, but he's got to hit. You know, and that's one thing that's been frustrating for him is he's got power. I mean, we've seen it, right? We've seen him with the power, but it just hasn't happened. So we got to see that. But anyway, there you go. All right, that is the Giants story of things. I got about 10 more minutes before we got to head off to lovely Sacramento, California to see the Cubs and the A's, and I'm going to experience that ballpark so that I can talk about it with some measure of expertise. Let me hit a couple of things that I had to. Well, I got a couple more things to play for you. Plus, I have a Caboose pistol for you, but also wanted to bring this up. I didn't know that Val Kilmer was sick. I guess he died of pneumonia, but he had had other issues going on. He's only 65. And I would agree with this. One of the coolest to ever do it. Rest in peace, Val Kilmer, a cinematic legend lost too soon. Only 65 years old. Obviously, Top Gun is probably what he's remembered for most. I thought he was really good. I haven't seen the Doors movie in a long time, but as Jim Morrison years and years ago, and he was just kind of a quirky dude. And then, had some weird things going on in his life. And then he was with the follow-up Top Gun. He was in that movie. But, it's a great actor, underrated, I think. Kind of quirky and weird, but, only 65, man. What a bummer. But I saw that last night, and like I said, he died of pneumonia, but he had other issues, had other illnesses. I think he had cancer and that he had been fighting for a long time. So anyway, Val Kilmer, at the age of 65, passes away, which is a really big bummer. So that's a bummer. I didn't play this yesterday. I wanted to. If you got thoughts on Val Kilmer, hit me up. I just want to make sure we hit everything before I got to jump out of here to run off to Sacramento. This was 2 days ago. This is Richard Sherman's house. Look at this right here. This is Richard Sherman's house in Seattle. And his family was home.
And this when you threw your phone.
These people break in. Let me go to the beginning of this. These people go right through this window. Look at that. In his house when they were home.
When you threw your phone.
I think that's his wife's voice there. But my goodness, man. I mean, that's how ballsy is that? Like, you'd think, like, yeah, you know, people are going to case his house and look out, and then when they leave, maybe you're going to go into his house and do something about it. But they bust through a window. He's got all those cameras. They bust through a window, and his family was actually home. He said, my wife kept the kids cool and everything like that, and everything was fine there. As far as Kyle Shanahan is concerned, I played a lot of this for you yesterday. Which one is this? Let me hit this real quick.
Position there.
Oh, this.
But we'll see how all that plans out. That, you know, going into this season, going into OTAs, going into training camp, I do feel there will be as much competition on our team for starting spots as there has been in a while, especially on defense. But we kind of want to create that everywhere. We haven't had that for a while. We've gone into drafts these last few years, not as much last year, but especially the 2 years prior to where it's, you look at our board and it's like, man, we don't really have to find a starter anywhere. You got to find depth because quickly they're a starter with an injury. I mean, I remember going into 3 years ago and felt the only starting position we could find was a kicker because we were so solidified. And it really isn't that way this year. So we're going to go into this draft, hopefully add 11 people. We'll see how that plans out, add them into our OTAs, and hopefully we'll have some really good competition come training camp.
So left guard would be...
All right, so we'll get in and he starts talking offensive line, which makes people's eyes roll back in their head. But I will post a little bit later. I wrote a piece at johnlundunleashed.com. I didn't get a chance to post it. And I got to dot I's cross T's on that a little later. So I will post a full review of Kyle Shanahan and what he said yesterday, as well as Jed York said a couple of things yesterday. So I'll make sure that that's at johnlundunleashed.com. And right now on the website, just so you know, I'm going to release a mock draft, whether people like it or not, every Monday until the draft on the 24th against Green Bay. So the 7-round mock draft 1.0 is up right now. A short video, which just basically says go to the website and watch and look at the draft. So that's up there right now. All sorts of different things. So you can check that out at johnlundunleashed.com. And I will add an article on there today about Kyle Shanahan and what he said and what you need to know about what he said yesterday. I know I'm a day late on that. I apologize. And then I got to run off to Sacramento. So that's going to be a little bit late on that. And then finally, one more thing before I get out of here, and then I'll read and make sure that I'm not missing anything on the chat line. Did you see this? And we'll call this the family-friendly caboose pistol, the sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol, because if you weren't here the other day, I ran the open because somebody asked for it. And then it's got Spirit in the Sky in it. And then YouTube freaked out and I had to cut it out of there. So I'm making a new YouTube open so that we can have a little bit more fun. But I think we've all been there, like, right? We've all been overserved, overdone it, everything like that. But I got to tell you, I've done some crazy things in my life, but I've never done this and I've never seen this. So this was opening day in Milwaukee. And apparently this guy just couldn't make it to the bathroom.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, opening day, bro. Opening.
Like, how are you that drunk? Have you ever been that drunk to where you're at a baseball game and you think to yourself, I just can't make it, man. I just cannot make it. I'm just going to have to drop trout right here and just do my business right in the middle of things. And then you see the vendors and it's just like, is there no security whatsoever? Like, seriously. Like you just, the dude just like, I'm just going to right here, right in the middle of things. I mean, right. That's right. Like right by the vendor stands and everything like that. My God, I've never seen that. And believe me, I've done a college, pro football, all those things. And football fans are generally worse than baseball fans in terms of, because it's set up that way. Tailgating and all these kind of things. And I've seen some stuff, you know, when I was in Pittsburgh, like I said, I did Steelers pregame and we would do it 4 hours before. And we had this roped off area and we did, this is one of the dumbest things this radio station has ever done. We had free kegs there. We had keg after keg, and we would give, as long as you had, you know, you're 21, we'd give you a wristband, and we didn't really cut anybody off. And people were drinking because they had an RV area at Steelers games, and you could go the night before. So, I mean, people were drinking all day. Remember, on the East Coast, they start Monday Night Football earlier now, but when I was on the East Coast working in Pittsburgh, they started Monday Night Football at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern. So these people had been marinating since, you know, a lot of people like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not kidding. And then we would give away a free keg starting at for a 9 o'clock start. So our free keg would pop out at about 6 o'clock. And so then people would go over there and there was people before the game just passed. I'm not even kidding you, because we had these rows of chairs to watch the pregame show. And it was in the, like on a grass area that was roped off. And we would have people passed out on the grass before the game even started, just like, and I never saw anybody ever. And this is the NFL. Never saw anybody just like, oh, never, never, never. So I've never seen that. So anyway, congratulations, Milwaukee. That was beautiful. That was very nice. Opening day. Overindulging on opening day. Yeah, exactly, Joy. My 5-year-old can make it to the bathroom. It's like, come on, man. How far is, I mean, seriously, I don't know how far he was away from it. And we've all been there, right? Where it's like, oh my God, I got to make it. Like, you can't just stop and be like, how the hell with it? This is where I'm going to do it. My God, man, it's just terrible. Like we've all been there. Like, oh, I just, what am I doing? I'm way too overserved, especially in public like that. Damn lines. Yeah, but you know what? And for guys, I mean, it's bad, right? It's bad. But I mean, you see a women's bathroom line at a ball game or a concert or something like that. I feel so bad for women because it just takes them longer. We're just like, yeah, sure. And I get it. We're men. We could, you know, we're in the wilderness. We're out camping, or we can whip it out wherever we want to whip it out. But you can't do it at a ball game. And the line is not that long. I mean, they're long, but for women, the women are twice as long. The line's twice as long. They take twice as long. Guys, we're in and out. That's why they used to have the troughs, because the troughs, it's just like, if you could fit in, you can go. The troughs are ridiculous. Do not like the pee troughs. But still, it takes longer now because nobody does the pee trough anymore. But still, I've never been, I got to be honest. You know, you're driving down the road, you're on a road trip. I mean, that really sucks. you know, and you really got to go. But it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, you know, I can make it there. I'm fine. My God, that was brutal. Yeah, at least find a garbage can. Like, he just went right in the middle. Like, just right in the middle. Like, just nah. Sorry. It's not even tried.
Yeah, buddy.
Like, look at the, and there's two vendors right there.
Opening day, bro.
That is nasty. I think the vendors walk right by because they're older guys. Vendors are like, not even dealing with this. Not even dealing with that. No chance. Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Monday Night Football Giants had the same thing, so puking past out fans. Yeah, because like I said, at Steelers games, and I don't know if it's still like this, like I said, they had this tailgate area, but it was for like RVs and so forth. So you could go the night before. So I don't remember exactly what time, but like you could be there 24 hours before, and you think people aren't going to drink for 24 hours? In Pittsburgh, they did. And then they would come by our pregame show, and we just put a wristband. I wasn't part of that part of it, but I could just see people, and I'm just like, we're giving away free kegs? These people have been drinking all day. And the game doesn't start till 9 Eastern. 9. People are just passed out all over the place. Not one or two. I mean, you're walking to the game going, there's one. It's like they've been drinking all day. It's like, my God, man. Unbelievable. Yeah, opening day, bro. Man, I've got to be honest, never seen that. Yeah, that's another thing too, is women got to see stuff like that, just like, what are these people? Are animals? Like, what? Ugh. Yeesh. Yeah, that would take a lot of beer chugs, man. That's why, like I said, on opening day when we did bottom of the pint, I wasn't going to be drinking 10% IPAs. This isn't my first rodeo, although I have a hat that says it is my first rodeo. But yeah, wasn't going to do that. You had to be really drunk to do that. That's just crazy, man. Just crazy. All right, what else we got? Anything else? All right, I'm sorry to cut it short today. I always appreciate everybody hanging out. I think we got to the majority of things. Here's what we'll do later on today. Let me just go to the bottom here to make sure I'm not missing anything critical. Everything that everybody brings in is critical. Don't get me wrong. I knew that would get the most. Reaction to anything that I would say today. But here's what I'm going to do. So here's what's left. Please stay on the channel today, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of document what I'm going to do today. I don't know the last time I went to a minor league park, but it's a major league stadium this year, at least for the next few years. And I just wanted to see it because I've talked about it a lot, and I've never been to the stadium. And I got a text from somebody within the A's, go, why don't you just come up and see what you think? And so I said, all right, I'll do it. So I'm going to do that. And then we'll be together on Friday. Hopefully you go to the opener for the Giants. So let me know if you're going there too. We talked a lot about the Warriors today. Absolutely huge win, but tomorrow night against the Lakers, just as big, if not bigger, because then you could potentially move up to the 4 spot. Logan Webb doing Logan Webb things. Giants off to a nice start. I will post later on my thoughts on the most important things Kyle Shanahan said yesterday. I'll dot I's and cross T's. We'll post that at johnlundunleashed.com. There's a mock draft up there and some other things. Plus, my Giants preview still holds, even though we're 4 or 5 games into the season. So we'll do that. And there are some things that they've gotten off to the start that they've done well that I talked about in that. So you can go to johnlundunleashed.com for that. Plus, all the social media stuff is there. Thank you for watching on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed. Thank you for watching on the Bay Area Sports Collective, X at John Lund Radio, Twitch as well, LinkedIn. Sorry to bother you people that are really working for a living. And check it out on Facebook as well. You can friend me or you can hit us up, or you should do both. John Lund Unleashed on Facebook, if that is your way that you want to do it too. So make sure that you hit us up for all of that stuff. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Like I said, stay with the channel, keep your alerts on, because I'll post some stuff from Sacramento today. And then make sure, please, before you leave today, hit the thumbs up, because it helps the algorithm, which will then recommend the show and the content to other people, which is cool because we're trying to grow the community. So I really appreciate all of those things. Everybody have a great day. I will talk to you after today, and I'll post some stuff. And as I said, have a wonderful Wednesday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!